You are gonna fly again. You are born anew again. Into you again. On this journey, all the dreams we find above the altar where the eagles fly. Touch the rain and let it wash over us again. In the light of every new day is another chance to begin. In the light of every new day is another chance to begin. Light of every new day is another chance to begin. In the light of every new day is another chance to begin.
And that's Mr. David Kai, and that one is called In This it's on this In This Moment is the name of the album, and it's on this journey, and it's David Kai at www.davidkai.com. Check him out. It's an awesome CD, and I have Grandmother Mona on the line, and I just want to say, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
No, thank you, and appreciate you taking time. I know as well as you do that there's a lot going on in the world, and I know that you are busy out there and helping the people and bringing people together, and for me, it's all about staying in the prayer. So I just wanted to give you a chance to introduce yourself and just talk a little bit about the feelings. I just, when I reached out to you, I just been feeling a lot of, I guess the word is the shift that everybody's feeling underneath everything that's happening in the world right now. And bringing it all back together and how we can touch the earth, and if we can, like, talk a little bit about that. And I know when you were up here the last time, you talked a little bit about coming into yourself and the prayer and the body and the breathing, and I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'd just like to greet everyone and give thanks for the beautiful day and this time, this moment here. My name is Mona Palaka. I'm from the Havasupai, the people of the Grand Canyon. The Havasupai are the people of the Blue Water. And I'm from the Hopi and Tewa in northern Arizona. That's on my father's side. And I've been on this journey, the spiritual path in connection to my relationship with all of the elements, you know, all my life, the way I was raised by my parents and my extended family, my elders, and it's brought me to this place in my life where I've become a part of the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers, which is a group of Indigenous women from around the world who are carrying this mission of prayer for the protection of Mother Earth and preservation of our earth-based medicine, as well as a prayer for peace in the world. As Indigenous grandmothers in the different places of the world that we come from, we found that there were many similarities about our concerns and our prayers that we were making for our future generations. And so it's through that, you know, that commonality that we shared that we've joined together to be part of this International Council. And we've been together since October 2004, and so that's basically a brief introduction of myself. I'm sure grateful, you know, that I was able to make a connection with all of these grandmothers. There are seven different languages that are spoken in the circle, and but we found that when we're praying, there's no need to translate. It's the spirit that is present, and we make a connection in that way through the prayers and ceremonies that we've been doing. And much of our focus has been on our concern for, you know, so much of the disregard for the water, for the air, for Mother Earth, you know, for the, you know, for all of these basic elements of life that we're seeing, that we all depend on, but we're seeing that they are being disregarded, disrespected, and so we are very concerned about that. And so this is our work that we've been doing in these past few years that we've been together. So I just wanted to mention that here.
Yeah, and I know you travel with the other grandmothers, and you have been up here a couple times and sharing with us and the importance of our, you know, our interconnectedness and that we are all related. And when we understand that, to me, when we understand that basic prayer, that we are all related, then we know that everything around us is connected to us, and then we, to me anyways, we become better stewards. And
right, it's what, you know, what's been called the basic call to consciousness. The basic call to consciousness is that awareness that we, you know, we are living beings, and all of life on Mother Earth is all related. We can't exist without, you know, the other. And so, you know, it's the understanding that what we do has an impact, like the, you know, the ripple effect. It has an impact that it's important for us to become conscious of what we do, because it has this impact beyond us as being a human being who may be trying to meet our own specific individual needs without consideration of others, you know, other life forms that are affected. So, you know, and, you know, the indigenous people have always said this, you know, that we are all related. I'm on my mother's side, the Havasupai side, I'm from the water. That's what the people are. The Havasupai means the people of the blue water. And so we are, so I've been told all my life that I am from the water, and that, you know, water beings, the life of the water is, they're my relatives. And I must be cautious about how I, you know, how I treat them, how I approach even the water. So these are, you know, so, but this is not just, you know, for the Havasupai people, this is a teaching that I've heard, you know, everywhere I've gone among indigenous people. And so, you know, yes, that it's a basic call that we all, no one is separated from it. And, you know, a lot of times people seem to forget, you know, forget that we are connected. And that's what the basic call is to, you know, wake up and be conscious that, to that connection.
Yeah, as we're approaching the end of the year, the winter solstice here, coming into 2012, and I know a lot of people talk about that date, but I know that also just talking to a lot of elders that I know, they're like, don't cancel any appointments for 2012. We're just moving into a different era, and I can feel that. And I was just wondering if you had any encouragement or things to share with us that we can, how we can become in right relationship with the planet and all of our relations.
You know, I have been spending time with what these with elders they call that are, you know, referred to themselves as the spiritual authorities. And these are elders that have consistently maintained the ceremonies and the prayers that have that were passed down from the original instructions. And so that's, you know, this is what they're saying, is that we must put back into practice the practice of honoring and respecting and paying paying our respect to the sacred places and the sacred things of life. And so it's like, for me, a practice that I do every day is, and it doesn't take much time at all to do, is to acknowledge every day, you know, the basic movements that we go through every day when we first wake up. You know, one of the first things that we do when we get up is we go to the water and use the water. We wash our face, drink some, take a shower, bath. But we go to the water, and but we don't acknowledge it and give thanks to it. And so one of the, you know, that would be, you know, one, the first thing to do is give thanks for the water. The next thing is your air, this breath of life, give thanks for it. And then the third thing you do when you walk out your door is you see the day, the first light of the day, the first moment you walk outside your door, you're greeting the day. But, you know, how many of us actually greet it and give thanks for it? And so those are, you know, that's a practice, you know, that can be, that doesn't take much time. It doesn't take, doesn't cost you anything to do except a moment with a good intention, with a prayerful intention. And so these are, you know, again, they're just real basic teachings about how we, you know, can acknowledge and show, pay our respect to the life-giving elements. And in that way, you know, we can begin to create this sense of balance and sense of connectedness. And when you have that sense of balance and connectedness, then you feel more grounded and grounded and connected to the changes that occur. Even, you know, like the changes of the season. You know, right now we're getting ready for the winter solstice, and many prayers, ceremonies are going to be taking place to acknowledge this change. And you know, I believe that, you know, a lot of the a lot of the discussion that's taking place right now, where it shouldn't be fear based.
Right.
It shouldn't be fear based. You know, it should be based on, you know, basically acknowledging these sacred powers. And the tendency is to focus on it as if it was, you know, something to be feared. So, but, you know, and that's why, you know, we have the ceremonies during the change of the seasons is so that we go through the change along with the season. Many of our people, indigenous people, have basic ceremonies that they do in these, you know, during these changes, during the changes of the season, as well as now we're seeing many of the natural changes that, even things like, the eclipse that took place recently, and there was much attention to it. And that's good, because then it demonstrates more awareness. that these things are very sacred and powerful times, but they're not something that should be feared. Yeah. So that would be my words of encouragement to, you know, to people who are, you know, thinking about these things.
Yeah, going back to what you were saying about the water, we live where there's a lot of water in all directions, and myself included. I've said this before on the air, and I've talked to a lot of people. I used to, you know, I get into the habit, like, it's raining all the time, and then I would go out, and I go, oh, it's raining again. And so an elder told me, we're out here doing a ceremony. She was talking to Grandmother Mandam, and she said, the water feels that. So if you know, when I wake up and I see that now, I don't go to that place. I go to that, thank you. And and I go out, and when I walk, because I take the bus and I walk, and I just let it, you know, bless me all over. And I'm really conscious of that now. But like a lot of us, you know, because we live in a fast pace, like even in Olympia, we're all moving and quickly, and sometimes we don't even look up, you know. And so it's important for us to, you know, be reminded. And so I think that was, for me, that was something that I wanted to share. And the, you know, the water and all the elements, you know, you talk to them, you know. I know Dr. Emoto, he has a, where you can say bad things to it and say good things, and how it comes into a crystal and how we can change that. And that can even go out even further into the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And go ahead.
I believe, you know, well, I truly believe in ceremonies that I participate in, we pray, you know, we pray with the water, and we talk, you know, we talk to the water. We call it our Holy Mother Water. It's our mother. It's because that's the first, we say, the first foundation of life, because when we were inside our mother's womb, we lived inside water. And so it's, you know, it's our life, it's our life, it's our life, it's the life-giving element. And so we give thanks to it and we talk to it. And I truly believe in that, you know, in the power of prayer, and how we communicate with it is, you know, is very important, and it's very powerful. That's what I truly believe. So, yes, I think it's a good practice, you know, for people to do. And I, you know, when I talk to people about the water, I say, you know, if you need scientific proof or scientific evidence, look at Dr. Emoto's work. You know, because some people, that's what they need, is some sort of a scientific evidence, or, you know, to, in order for them to really acknowledge the proof of the powers of nature.
Absolutely. I was just talking to a friend today, oh, actually last night, in fact, and I remember there was this article up at MIT that they were proving that meditation actually works, and it was called Lama in the Lab, and the Dalai Lama actually was there, and he's quite giggling at, he's got quite a sense of humor, and he said, finally, you know, like, now, you know, we have done this for thousands of years now, that science has brought it to the mainstream attention. People are starting to take a deeper look at how these ancient teachings are really important.
Oh, yeah.
And, I know, like, you know, again, we're going back to, like, all the things that are happening, all the movements across Turtle Island here, and it just how we need to, like, reach out in our communities. And I wanted to also just talk a little bit about with the grandmothers, you know, I know that you get traveling, where you're heading next, how we can help you. And but, like, just coming into this time that we're in, and I was reading about seeds and storage and all those things, a little advice, because I know, like, we're in that I don't want to say the final hour, but we're in that time right now where people are starting to look more deeply, and more people each day, like, I take the bus, I see more and more people starting to, like, awaken up and realizing what we're in and how, and I see a lot of denial also out there, and how people can work through that, you know, like, all the things that have happened here to Indigenous folks, and people are starting to realize, you know, that, I guess for me, like, that it's a even playing field now, if that makes sense. Like, they're starting to understand how the Indigenous folks have felt since the invasion.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of times people look at, you know, Indigenous people have been the voice for the voiceless, as Grandmother Agnes Baker Pilgrim says. You know, we have always spoken up about, you know, about how certain things impact, you know, certain the degradation of the environment is not just people, but all of the nature that we rely on. And what's happening now, I mean, if you look, you know, if you think about, like, the hydrofracking that's taking place across the country, and, you know, it's not just Native people that are being impacted by it. You know, when your water, when it comes out of the faucet, it burns, you know, you can light a match to it. You know, that shouldn't be the wake up call. It should be before all this happens. But, you know, that's where we're at right now. In a lot of cases across the country, we're faced with that. Not just Indigenous communities, but all communities, all people are being impacted by it. And so I think this is also part of how people are becoming more aware and beginning to say, wait a minute, you know, this is, it's my problem now. It's not just, you know, the Indigenous people, you know, crying wolf or, you know, just talking. It's beyond that, because now the American public is really becoming impacted. They're beginning to experience, you know, these very things that the Indigenous people have been, you know, warning them about. So I think that's, you know, that's also, you know, part of what's bringing more awareness. You know, is when it's right there in your own backyard, so to speak. So, you know, there is a mess. There's a huge mess in the world today, all around the world, and it's all related to, you know, it's all related to the extraction of minerals and all of this, you know, this corporate greed. So I, you know, that's what I think anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, like, what you're just saying, that it is affecting everyone. And I think now, like, we're getting back to, like, we're all connected. People are more and more, I think, are seeing that and understanding that we have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to join the prayer, as I say all the time. When you were here a few years back with Uchi Rita and Rita Blumenstein, Grandmother Rita Blumenstein, and Grandma Aggie, and,
uh-huh.
and we were in the organic garden, and to watch how you guys work together in the prayer and to be in that prayer and I can feel that connectiveness through the prayer and that healing, because I feel like that's the other thing. I think planetarily we're going through a huge healing, and so being in that prayer, I feel is really important, and I'm sorry, I got a little stuffed up this evening, but moving through it. But how would there's a lot of people I also talk to that like say we don't have these practices, and like for me, it's just that we have to trace our ancestral roots, come back to where the ancestors were. And could you talk a little bit about that? How people, you know, like we are all from that same, what I say, the same sacred tree.
I believe that the ancestors are present. They're present with us. They're present in us. They're present in everything. They're in everything. They're in the water. They're in the air. They're in the earth. You know, they're in the fire. They're in everything. And they're within us. We have this, and that's again goes back to that concept of we are all related. It's that connection that never, you know, the way like the us mothers say, you know, we have this the umbilical cord that we are connected to our babies. And even though the umbilical cord was cut, it's never, you know, it's been cut physically, but it's never cut. We always have that connection. And so and it's and the ancestors are talking to us. They are present. They are giving us these messages. And sometimes, you know, certain we may think certain things, and we may think they are our thoughts, but they are messages, I believe, that, you know, that the ancestors are giving to us. They're giving us the instructions. And we, you know, just like you know that, you know, the messages that you receive are true and powerful. And that's, I guess, in a way, that's kind of one of the fine lines, I guess, that we always pay attention to, and is that, you know, it's the grandmothers say, it's not us, you know. We didn't put ourselves here. We didn't appoint ourselves to be on this council. It was, you know, our ancestors. It was something that was established, you know, way be even before we came into the world. And so, you know, that's how we acknowledge, you know, acknowledge that we have been put in this on this journey of life, you know, by our ancestors, by, you know, and it's up to us to continue to carry, you know, carry on that those instructions that we have within us, as, you know, as the saying goes, through our genetic memory. And so, you know, yes, our ancestors are very present. And so, you know, we are carrying them on. That's how I've been taught, anyway.
Yeah, that prayer was laid down 7 generations ago for all of us to be here. And I just, I again, going back to just for me, if people can just trace that ancestral root, that DNA you're talking about, and that's how we'll be connected to the ancestors. And we are all here together to do the work right here and now.
Right.
And so
yeah,
I
it's
go ahead.
well, you know, yeah, it's and it can't just be done, you know, by one group alone. It takes everyone, and this is what the elders are saying. You know, the elders are saying, you know, we've been doing this work. We've been working, and we've been making the prayers. We've been doing the ceremonies. But we need help. We need your help. That's what they're saying. We need the help of everyone to join in this prayer, in the ceremony, in the acknowledgement of the powers of you know, of the universe, to acknowledge that and to join together. that's what they're saying. So, yeah, it's not, we can't do it alone.
No, there's a local elder here named Billy Frank Jr., and I remember him saying that Native people have been holding that prayer together for a long time, and we need, what you just said, we need everybody to come and help, be a messenger, and get out there and do that prayer. And, you know, he said that when we're out in those fields and we're, fixing the water and putting the salmon back as best they can and putting native plants back, and they're praying. And but we need everyone's help. We all need to work together. And that's a basic, what I'm really hearing from you is that we have to work together. We have to work through all the whatever it is, you know, because there's a lot of things that need to be taken care of, and the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom and all those places that are affected, those sacred places need to be taken care of.
Right. Yeah, it all goes back again to that concept of we are all related. You know, it all goes back to that concept and then all of the, like, the plants and the animal life, you know, they've been doing their work. They've been taking care of us. Now it's time for us to join in and help, you know, help them to maintain the balance. So, you know, it goes back to that same concept again of we are all related. And the other part, which is, you know, that we aren't in this world for nothing. And then of course the concept of for the, you know, seven generations that are yet to come. And the ones that we're not going to, you know, the ones we will not see, they are yet to come. But we must not forget that we have this, you know, indigenous people have always maintained that responsibility, but it's not just for us to maintain any, it's everyone in the world. You know, they have generations that are still coming too. And so, you know, we have to be responsible to consider those generations that are yet to come.
Absolutely. And again, what you're saying, my heart has been heavy this lately, just with, I know that there's a lot of, I guess for lack of a better word, like anger that's out there with the system and how it's treating everyone, and how, we have to get out of the mindset, for me anyways, that the same system that created the mess is going to fix it. And like what you're talking about, as a people, you know, all the four colors of humanity have to work together to clean the water, to take care of the seeds, the plants, and the animals, and all the elements. And I know that, like, again, had a little exercise, and just wanted to maybe share that with our listeners, and then we'll just talk a little bit about where the grandmothers are going next.
We will be going to Montana in the end of July and the first week of August. That's when our next gathering is taking place. So that's where we will be in July, end of July and first week of August.
So when you gather, you're doing ceremony, is it people invited to join or to help, or how does one get involved?
Well, the Grandmother Margaret Behan of the Cheyenne is hosting the grandmother's gathering, and usually the way that the organizing goes is that the grandmother who is hosting has you contact the Center for Sacred Studies. They handle most of the logistics. So that would be, you know, the place where people could, you know, get an idea of if they're wanting to help in any way, then they would contact, you know, look at the grandmother's website. It's www.grandmotherscouncil.com. And so one of the things that we usually do is while we're in the gatherings is we do have, you know, we do have the prayer ceremonies. All the grandmothers will be each have a time to do their prayer ceremonies. And so that will be taking place during the gathering. As well as one of the other, you know, things is that people could, you know, also, I know that they'll be doing fundraising activities, and also they also take donations and contributions that would go towards covering the expenses of the gathering. So those are some of the ways that people could help out.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. And it's 5:30, and you're listening to KAOS 89.3 FM, and it's Raven Redbone speaking with Grandmother Mona from the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. And just, you know, kind of wrapping it up, Grandmother, as I was saying, when we come into the prayer and working together, and working through, like, I get sometimes with people, like, I get really upset with sharing and, you know, keeping it to ourselves. And I'm all about sharing it. And because I've lived in a world, I'm 44 years old, and I've lived in a world without an Indigenous viewpoint that's been dominant. You know, look at the world the way it's in. And I know the importance of how we have to come in, and all the elders that I'm sitting with are saying the same things that the grandmothers are. It's time for us to share. It's time for us to work together. And I just was wondering if there was anything else on your heart that you'd like to share with us this evening.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, but my phone was making noise, some kind of a noise. I wasn't sure if you were hearing me, or I could hardly hear you. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Oh, it's just a recap, like what you're saying. If there's I do a lot of sharing and uplifting the people, and the message that I'm hearing from the elders that I'm around, it's time for us to share, it's time for us to come together, and the importance of that. And sometimes, you know, I come up with a little bit of people not wanting to do that, and but coming into this, I know the importance of Indigenous viewpoint, because I'm 44, and I've lived in a world that's really, that hasn't been dominant, and we can look around, and we really need to share and come into an Indigenous viewpoint if we're going to survive. And I just was wondering if there's anything else that was on your heart that you wanted to share with the people before we close this evening. Oh, this is Make No Bones About It. I think we lost her. Maybe she'll call back. We're going to play a song. We got about 35 minutes. And again, this is Make No Bones About It. It's Raven Redbone. And hold on 1 second. I think that's her right there. And we'll go on. Let's see. Hold on. We'll play a song. We'll be right back. And I think Mercury's in retrograde or something. But I see the phone, and I want to, before I play something, I want to.
Hello?
Grandmother?
Yeah, I got cut off.
Oh, it's okay. I think that there's something going on with the planets besides my brain, you know, like I'm all stuffed up here and you know, but there's been a lot of, I hit the wrong button this evening also, and I'm like, oh, so, but I appreciate you calling back, and let's just kind of recap what I was saying, is that I've lived my adult life without an Indigenous viewpoint, and I can see all the things that around us that have happened, and I know the importance of sharing, and even though like, there's some that want to keep it, and all the elders that I pray with, that I sat with, and I counsel with, they're saying it's the time for us to share if we're going to survive as a people. And I just was wondering if there was something on your heart that you'd like to share before we close this evening.
Oh. You know, that's a real, I guess, it's, I just feel so, I really, really have to have a lot of faith and hope in the prayers that we all make, that our people, our Indigenous people, have been making through their ceremonies and medicines that we have. I feel really sometimes overwhelmed because every day, you know, I was in Brazil with the grandmothers in October, and the Indigenous people from the Amazon all came out. They came and met with us. They're in their Indigenous ways, and their prayers and their songs and their dance, and then they told us what was going on, what's happening to them. And I mean, and so the grandmothers have written, we've written letters of support for them, and calling on all calling for social justice. It's not just there in Brazil, it's all over the world, you know, that the grandmothers get messages from the Indigenous people asking for help, asking for prayers, asking for support. And you know, the plea that I have to the world at large and these is that, you know, our Indigenous people have existed from time immemorial in these environments where no one else would even think of living. We have lived in these, you know, off of these lands, you know, places where we believe Creator put us. And we know because of the instructions we were given, the original instructions, we know how to survive in these kinds of environments. That's all they know. That's all we know how to live. These people of the Amazon, the people up in the Arctic, you know, the people of the different parts of the world, in Africa and New Guinea and all over, you know, they know how to live in those environments. They don't know any other life. And if that environment is destroyed, they have nowhere else to go. They don't know how to live in an urban setting. I mean, you know, all we have to do is look at our people who have migrated to the urban areas that struggle. And you know, so this is this is also part of the call to consciousness, that our people, these Indigenous people, you know, they have been existing without the electricity, without the oil. They know how to exist without it. Now this is what Indigenous people are saying now. Even at COP, I think it was over in Durban or something in Africa recently, you know, that Indigenous people have some answers. And so, you know, this is the other basic call, is that, you know, we've known how to live without these things that the rest of the world, modern society, seems to think that they cannot live without. That, you know, in order for them to have their creature comforts, you know, they're destroying other people. The other people's way of life, the Indigenous people's way of life. And so, you know, this is a real challenge. It's really, it really gets to me. My heart, you know, I cry, I, you know, pray hard and, you know, try to encourage these elders and the leaders of these movements that of Indigenous people, you know, try to encourage them. It's a serious, serious condition, serious situation, you know, because like you said, you know, there is a serious threat to the survival of Indigenous people in around the world. So that to me is one of the most important, you know, things that messages, I guess, that I hope people will, you know, take to heart, besides, you know, acknowledging and doing the daily prayer of thankfulness for, you know, the basic elements. So thanks for, you know, asking me. I mean, I may have gone over time, but, you know, this is just my heartfelt, you know, message.
No, I appreciate that, because it has to be heard, you know, like, and also, like, when they're gone, I really know in my heart that we will not be able to survive. Because they know how to live on the earth, and I also know, like what you're saying, like the creature comforts. If we just change how we are doing business, Orin Lyons always says, you know, the business of doing business as usual is over. But we have the technology. My wife just finally got from the library the 11th hour, and what I loved about it was all these scientists together, and they're telling us all the things that were happening. And, you know, and then Orin Lyons was there, and a few other elders. They were talking about, you know, if we come back to Earth, touch the Earth, these are the things that we can do. We don't have to lose anything. We just have to change the way that we're treating Mother Earth.
Right.
And start right. Start to implement it. And it goes back to what you're saying, that, you know, in the beginning, you know, we're all related, all of us. Mm-hmm. And what we do to one, we do to all.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can come into that prayer and, you know, just be in that prayer. I know in my heart that we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. And,
yes.
And so, you know, and I wanted to just echo what you said about the Indigenous folks, that we are destroying how they live. And we need to look at that. And we need to, I feel like, pray harder, do harder, get the word out more to people. Because I know if we know what's going on, together we can stop them, like cutting down more trees. Like we're here, and we have still a little bit of old growth left around us here, and so we've got to take care of the environment here. And wherever we are locally, I think that's important.
Yes.
And,
yes, there's so much.
So
we can only start with, you know, we can only start with ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Come in and be responsible. You were saying earlier, we're responsible people. We're doing a responsible thing ourselves, so we can bring that out to the world. And, so. I got about 15 minutes left, and I just wanted to say that I know that you're busy, and I don't I was reading that. I thought you were going to Australia or something. If you guys were going to Australia, or is that just a few of the grandmothers going there as of recent? But you said Montana's the next
right.
big visit, Grandmother Margaret. But what's Grandmother Mona doing these days right now? Where are you going to be? Where can we see you? I'm hoping you come back up to the Northwest.
I'd like to come back to the Northwest. I like it up there. I will be going to Chiapas, Mexico in January. There's a group of, there's about two or three other Hopi people that will be going on this trip to Chiapas, and we'll be meeting with some of the elders there. And kind of like a have dialogue with them, meet with them and share some teachings with each other, and see, they plan on showing us different some of their sacred sites there. So that's where I'll be in January. Other than that, I haven't really created any kind of, I don't really have a schedule for a couple of months, which is okay with me.
Yeah, it's good.
And, but, you know, I'm looking forward to the new year and seeing the different changes and things that are yet to come.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate being part of your program tonight.
Oh, I appreciate you and all the work you're doing. And you always, whenever, I know I've seen you a couple of times, you just, the prayer that you bring to the people is so important. And I'm grateful for that and your encouragement for us all to continue to work together. We're going to come up through obstacles, but we can move through them if we work together. I remember we were talking, and you were saying that how important it is, and that we have seen this before. You know, it's been written before on petroglyphs and different messages from the elders. And so if we just listen and pay attention and move forward in that good way, as you're talking, I think that we can move through this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, again, I appreciate you giving us a call, and please stay in touch and let us know how we can help get the message out and share with
right.
people. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I thank you, and thank you for having this program. I think it's very important and informative for people, you know, even maybe people who are listening for the first time, hopefully that your time that you have to listen tonight is well worth it, and you could have a good evening and have good holidays and start the new year in a good way.
Thank you. The same, you and your family, and blessings.
Okay.
All right. Hold on 1 minute, and I'll talk to you. I just want to play the song,
okay.
And we'll. Right back.
My friend Lawrence Dunmore III translates for me a lot of songs into the Tula language. So that's the language from this area, you know, Okanichis and Saponis, and it's anyway, the words say our minds are good, our hearts are full, and that the ancestors come and they give us strength, and they say to stand tall, sing and dance. And never forget who you are, where you come from. And that's for everybody. Tambuyan, biggity.
That was Puta Fey and the Puta Fey Trio, and that's off her new she's got another album coming out, but this one's the new to me, 2011, and it's Puta Fey Trio live a blues night in North Carolina. And as you can tell, I'm a little off my, but I'm feeling better. I got some remedy that I'm gonna be doing when I get home, and I want to thank Grandma Mona Palaka for calling in, 13 Indigenous grandmother, and sharing with us this evening and her message. I just think it's really important in this time that we continue to work together, pray together, do the things that we need to do locally. We all have to, in my heart, know that if we stay local, take care of things locally, and we can take care of each other. And I think that's the message of the elders, at least the elders that I'm around, and the importance of us to share and to listen, come back to the earth. It's just really important for us to take care of Mother Earth, you know. And again, talking a little bit about the indigenous folks, the environment that we are infringing on, and they're losing their culture in that way, and those that know how to live that way. So I just wanted to just say that again, because it's important for us to remember the bones that we're stepping on, and take care of it, and that healing that has to, that is happening, and that we're all coming into this time. It's here, you know. It's 2012. It's here. And I also wanted to just another shout out to the Memorial Bigfoot Riders going through. I know it must be cold and snowy and that area. And thank you for that work. Thank you for that prayer. Thank you for bringing me there with your relatives, knowing your relatives. And I just appreciate that. Appreciate that from my heart to your heart. Remembering Wounded Knee and all that happened there, and praying for the ancestors. And next week is the holiday, and I will be in the house. I'm going to just do some mixed media sharing. Won't be holiday media, but it's mixed media on the earth, and what we can do in the holiday. And I just want to say this one last thing, and I'll be done. There's a lot of people out there that are go without. If you can help somebody, please do. There's a lot of elders also that are out of propane that live in really cold areas, and you can go to Good Thinking for All Relations, and if you put propane in the subject heading, that'll get taken care of, and they'll fill up an elder's tank, and would really help him in this time. Okay, this is Make No Bones About It. It's Raven Redbone. Thanks for listening. We're going to go out with Joanne Shenandoah, and it's called The Messenger. Here we go. Thank you.